Thanks, Jason. Hey, good morning, church. It's good to be with you. It is a pleasure to stand before you. I'd like to thank Jason again and the deacon body and the church for asking me to come. I really am excited to be here. It's great to meet so many of you, even this morning, meeting some new folks. So thank you so much for your hospitality. Now, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, let's go ahead and start by turning to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, we're going to also land in some other places today. We'll have some of those verses up on the screen, but a couple are very familiar to us. We'll be in John 15. You might have a bookmark there. You might have your pen left there in John 15. We're also going to read Galatians 5, a few verses from there. So those two are very familiar to us if you've been here through the course of this series, but we're also going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I just want to say before we even dive in that, and before we pray and move forward, that it's okay if you need to use your table of contents in your Bible. That is okay. For many years, I had no idea where these passages were, and I'd look there, and I felt maybe even a little self-conscious. Maybe these other people know where these are at. I did not. It's okay. Look there, find it, find the page number, and then turn. Hebrews 11, John 15, Galatians 5. We'll read a portion of each of these scriptures today. What we're exploring today is the nature of faith and faithfulness as one of the spiritual gifts that we're working our way through, the spiritual fruit of faithfulness. So as you're turning there, I want to encourage you, just like Pastor Jason said, to take notes with us today. So if you need to scan this to take the digital notes, that's great. Or if you had a bulletin when you came in to fill in those points in that insert, or as I do many times, I write in the margin of my Bible. It helps me years down the road to see a note that I place tying a scripture to another scripture, and then I'll go back and look it up and say, what was I thinking when I saw this? Oh, God was teaching me this. And so it is a good practice to do that as well. It's okay to mark up your Bible in that way and write things in the margin. So we're going to take notes today. It's very important that we do that, okay? Because as we know this, right? That what we're doing as we gather as a church is we are worshiping our Lord as a means of ordinary grace. We're gathering together to be equipped for ministry and to be encouraged for that same ministry. As we go out from these walls, we're being equipped for what's out there, because the church, of course, is not this building. We know that. The church is made up of the body of believers, so we are being equipped for the ministry of the church through the proclamation of the word today, so that we can go out there and be his ambassadors. Amen? That's what we're called to do, to be his ambassadors, to be those who are sent out as his representatives of the gospel of grace. Like we see this in 2 Corinthians 5, right? That we are called to be his ambassadors, his representatives. So let's get equipped today. Let's get encouraged from the word today. Amen? And so let's do that. We're going to begin this morning with prayer for our study of the Word. Would you join me? Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for bringing us to this place, this time, for your glory. We thank you that you have called us, set us apart for ministry, that you have brought us together as a faith family for your glory. We pray that you would use us in your kingdom work. Even us. That you would use even us, those that are broken vessels, to share the gospel of grace, and not just to share the gospel for conversion, but for discipleship, that we would be about your business, that we would be sharing all that you have taught us in your word. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church today, a heart to receive it, that we might glorify you, not only in this place, but as we go from here, that you would equip us to share the good news that we hear here, about faithfulness, the nature of faithfulness in the life of the believer, to share the good news of the gospel with all that you put in our path this week. We thank you so much, Lord. We give you all glory and praise and honor, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, it's great to be here today, and it is good to be in the Word today. We need to be encouraged. We need the gospel of grace. I need the gospel every day. I need to be reminded, and it is good to be reminded of our inability to do what only Christ can do. I know I need the gospel every day. It's good to be reminded of this, to lean on Him moment by moment, day by day, leaning into Christ. I was reminded of Jacob in the Old Testament as he was about to die, leaning on his staff as he blessed Joseph and his children, leaning with his weight on to his staff. And I was reminded of what a great picture that is, of how we lean into Christ and rest in Him and have strength in Him alone. I mean, we remember this, right, that in 1 Peter 3:15, we are called to remind people of the necessity of the gospel, the hope that we have within us because of Christ in us. Peter writes to the church saying that we are to honor Christ, the Lord, as holy in our hearts, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason, that for the hope that's within you, right? I mean, don't miss it. Peter's exhortation to the church, to us, actually implies something, right? It actually implies, it expects that we are a people that spend time with Jesus. And in such a way, we spend time with Him that other people notice. They take note of what we say and how we act and how we react. They notice certain things in us, how we speak about trusting Christ. There's something in us that's altogether different. And when they take notice, Peter says, always be ready to give an account. The Greek word there is something that you might be familiar with. It's actually like proclamation, to give an account. There's hope within us. So we're supposed to have the settled rest, a lifestyle of abiding in Christ, resting in Christ, and have reliance on His finished work on the cross, so much so that even through trial and hardship and pain and struggle, and the day-to-day things that we face, we struggle with sin, resisting and leaning into Christ in the midst of all of it. As followers of Christ, you and I together have such hope in Him that we have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control just oozing out of us, naturally flowing out of us as we trust in Christ. So much so that people actually ask a question like, hey, what's the deal with you? Right? Like, what's with you that you're this way in the middle of everything that we're facing in this world or you're facing personally? What's with you? Why do you have this hope? So as we gather around the Word today and glory in the gospel, I want us to truly be encouraged by it and equipped, because we know we have a commission to fulfill. It's a great commission. It's too big for us. We need each other, don't we? We need each other to fulfill the commission that we have, where each one of us that know Jesus, that have been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, by according to His Word alone, for His glory alone, that we have been called and commissioned to proclaim the gospel and make disciples, teaching them everything that we've been instructed. Here's the thing, like I said, it's too big for us. We need Christ to redeem us, to strengthen us. We need the Spirit to guide us. We need each other to press on, encouraging one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. This is what we need. So let's get equipped. Let's dive into the Word together. We're going to start with a passage that's very familiar. It's John 15. Are you there? John 15. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. Very familiar passage to us at this point. Here's what the gospel records. Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, throughout this series, we've been exploring this biblical concept. We sang about it a moment ago, about abiding in Christ, resting in him, leaning into him and his finished work on the cross. Now, that Greek word for abide, I know we've talked about this used here. We've been learning. It means to rely, to remain, to tarry, to be held, to be kept by Christ. So we have kind of a first observation I want us to jot down in our notes. So if you have your notes, let's get ready and write this down on that worksheet today or in your digital notes. We abide in Christ when we depend and trust in Him. We just sang about that, right? That's what it means to abide in Christ. We depend on Him. We trust in Him. We lean into Him. We rest in His righteousness, rest in the truth that He is working in us and transforming us, sanctifying us. So church, this means that we walk by the Spirit. It says that in Galatians 5, verse 16, right? We walk by the Spirit. Why? So that we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, Paul, when he writes to the church in Galatia, talks about this tension that's in each one of us, that it's actually, it's palatable, that the flesh and the Spirit are at war with one another. They're at odds with one another. And if we walk by the Spirit, like it says in verse 16 of Galatians 5, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What does that mean? That means that we know and we trust that Jesus is working in us. He is knitting together His perfect sovereign plan in every situation for His glory and our good. Amen? I mean, that's Romans 8:28. We're trusting in Him, obeying His direction. We're leaning into Him, knowing that He is faithful. He is reliable. He is steadfast and trustworthy. And we stick to Him, obediently following what He commands us to do, His direction, His call. We're praying continually and trusting in Him. We're abiding. This is what it means to abide. Jesus says here, right here, John 15:5, whoever abides in Me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. We cling to Christ. We rely on Christ. We rest in Him. And it is in that abiding that we start to see the spiritual fruit develop in our life. It's another way of describing, as I said, the natural outpouring of the life that now resides in us, the Holy Spirit's presence in the life of the Christian. Because one of the primary purposes of the Spirit in us, and I know we've talked about this, is to change our life, to be like Christ. The Holy Spirit is conforming us to the image of Christ. Now, this is very different than our religious works, isn't it? It's very different than trying harder and having a checklist of things that I must accomplish to be a good Christian. When we rely on Him, when we lean into Him, it's very different than saying, well, if I just do these acts of religious practice and discipline, then I become a good Christian. Very different. That's a great place for an amen. Thank you. Amen. See, our standing before God is established and maintained entirely by the finished work of Christ and His righteousness. I mean, don't miss it. It's been imputed to us. What that means is it's been poured over us. It's covering us by faith, so that our sin is atoned for, it's paid for by Christ. And so the fruit of the Spirit then is what grows in us as the outpouring of the Spirit, that new life that resides in us. So let's turn to Galatians 5. When we get to Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, it says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or should I say patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, which we're going to talk about today, gentleness, and self-control. Notice there's no S on fruit. Did you notice that? Because the word in Greek is actually singular, the fruit, period. It's not like you get one of these and then another one. You know, they're developing, but the fruit, what we see developing in us, are these things. They show up in our hearts and our lives as we're being transformed and our hearts are being changed to be more like Christ. So we need to keep in step with the Spirit. It says in Galatians 5:25, walk in the Spirit, resisting the flesh, as we talked about. Now, Paul puts it this way. Now, Paul, when he writes to the church in Colossae, he talks about what this keeping step with the Spirit looks like. He says this, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, look at this, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We keep in step. He is our life. He's our life. Galatians 2:20, Paul put it this way, I've been crucified with Christ, and therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're keeping in step and resisting the flesh. This is what it means to live by faith. And this is what Paul is talking about when he describes the next fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about today in Galatians 5:22, which is faithfulness. Now, Scripture often speaks of faithfulness, God's faithfulness, right? I mean, over and over. And we sang about it today. Great is thy faithfulness. And the Scripture speaks over and over about his faithfulness. When God says he's going to do something, he does it. If God says something will happen, it just happens. He is faithful. And this is true of the past, present, and future. I want to read some things to you. Just listen to these scriptures. I don't think I have them on the screen, but just listen. 1 Kings 8:56 says, not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave. Not one. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Or Lamentations 3:22 and 23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Psalm 119, 89 through 90 says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen? He is faithful. God is eternally reliable, eternally steadfast, and unwavering because faithfulness is one of his inherent attributes. He's not faithful because of what he does. He does what he does because he's faithful. It's his characteristic. And because we know this about God, we might be tempted to think that the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, is about our consistency in religious fervor, our stick-with-itness. Like, I made a promise I was going to do this, I'm going to keep it up, like our religious discipline. We might be tempted to think that faithfulness listed here is really about how well I can discipline myself. The good news, that's not what it means, okay? It's good news because I know us. Like, we're not that good at that. Amen? We want to be, but we're not that great at it. Nobody is. It's not what it means because Paul's not talking about our religious work here, about our being faithful by our strength or our great discipline. He's not saying that here. No, he's talking about spiritual fruit, things that ebb up out of us because of the Spirit in us, something the Spirit grows in us as believers in Jesus, right? If you have placed your faith in him, these are the natural outpourings of that trust. So then the question is, well, what is he saying then? Kevin, what's he talking about? Thank you for asking the question. I appreciate you guys thinking about those questions. What is he talking about? Well, to find out, you look at the original language, the Greek word used here, Galatians 5:22, for faithfulness. The word he uses here is pistis, which means faith or trust. That's what it means. So when Paul lists faithfulness as a fruit of the Spirit, what he's describing is, as a follower of Jesus, you and I, followers of Christ, who are full of faith, full of belief, full of trust and confidence in God, that's what he means when he says faithfulness, that you are full of faith. Does that make sense? Because we can flip that around and say, I am faithful, but what it really means is you are full of faith. That's it. That you are continually leaning, continually trusting, saying, I can't, but he can. I'm not able, but he is able. I'm not faithful, but he is faithful. So what Paul's describing here, think about it. It's a steadfastness, I should say, of belief. That my belief is steadfast in God's plan, His purpose, His sovereignty. I am trusting in Him, resting in Him. See, when a person walks consistently with God, living in humble service to Him, he or she can be called faithful. You're trusting in Him. So we can write this down, another observation. Let's jot it down. The Spirit working in us makes us full of faith. That's what happens. We are trusting in Him. We're full of faith. We live by faith. We're filled with faith. We have faith in His plan, His purpose, found in Christ alone. No matter the circumstances, no matter the pressures we face, no matter the depth of persecution that comes our way, no matter what the risk is, we are full of faith in Christ alone. We live by faith in Him. Amen? And we're trusting in Him as followers of Christ, in His plans moment by moment. Now, church, this is a fruit of the Spirit at work in us, drawing us closer to Him. So instead of relying on ourselves and our reasoning, we live differently. At the heart of our lives, we are surrendered to Christ. It's a trust, an absolute surrender and submission to Christ's authority over our lives. This is what it means to die to yourself. When Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, he's talking about this, that it's all Christ. It's all Him. I no longer live. He lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's all Christ. This is our life. When he writes to the church in Colossae, and he says, when Christ, who is your life, that's what he's talking about. Our life flows from Him. Our life is set on Him. And so a great summary of this is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, which says this. You know it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Amen? This is what faith looks like. And this is what biblical faithfulness looks like. And the author of Hebrews describes in chapter 11, let's go ahead and turn there now, last passage real quick. Let's put Hebrews 11 in context real quick. See, this entire letter, the author has been proclaiming that Christ is better. Christ is greater than any attempts to please God, any religious practice we hope to earn His favor with. He is better than all of it. That's the book of Hebrews, right? Any attempts to be wise in our own eyes, all of it. The author has been explaining this over and over and over, that we must put our trust in Christ alone, walk by faith in Him in every part of our lives, living by this understanding that we desperately need Him. We need Him. And then when we come to Hebrews 11, look there, the author describes what living by faith actually looks like. Here's what he says. This being full of faith looks like this. Verse 1, hear this declaration. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. I like the way the English Standard Version says it. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. See, that word describing faith, either assurance or reality, in the original language, literally, don't miss this, literally means to stand immovable, to stand firm on the, or it sometimes refers to the foundation of a building. Think of that. I mean, our faith is a firm, immovable foundation. No matter what comes our way, we are not broken by it because our faith is in Christ alone. Amen? This is the wise man who builds his house upon the rock, who takes these words of Christ and applies them, lives by faith. This understructure, support that is established under something, causes something to keep its place, but it's not just that. It's also a conviction, the proof. Notice that? About something that we're certain about. Kind of like gravity. I come close to this edge, and I know that if I slip off, I'm going to hit the ground, probably sprain my ankle pretty good. Gravity, I don't see it, but I'm convinced that it's happening, right? I'm gonna be careful near the edge. It's a conviction. God's word is true. The gospel is our only hope. I am convinced of it. Christ is our source of salvation and restoration and redemption, reconciliation. This conviction is not just intellectual. It's a trust that leads to action, doesn't it? If we're convicted by it, we live differently as a result of it, which is why we have this last point to jot down. Faithfulness is seen in a believer's trust in Christ that leads to action. It leads to action. We live differently, not because we're trying harder, but because we just can't help it. We just can't stop it. Because He is our firm foundation. We trust in Him. And I want to read a couple more verses from Hebrews before we close. Just real quick, look at this. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For our ancestors won God's approval by it. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. Jump down to verse 6. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists and rewards those who seek Him. A lot of times we think about Hebrews 11 as the faith chapter. It's like the hall of faith. Oh, look at these heroes and all they did. But let me assure you, they were regular people. They were just like us. Just like us. The difference and the reason their name is recorded in this book is because they cast off the things that were hindering them in their wrestling with their own flesh and decided, I will follow Christ. I will lean into Him and trust Him. So think about this, by faith Abel offered a pleasing sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 7, by faith Noah prepared the ark in a time when rain was unknown. By faith Abraham left his home and obeyed God's command to go to a land not yet revealed. Also willingly offered up his son, right? By faith Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. By faith Rahab received the spies of Israel and saved her life. There are many, many more. If you look down in verse 33, it says, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength after being weak, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to fight. And the author says, obviously, we don't have time to talk about them, though it would be great if he did, right? We'd like to hear those stories too. But their stories are our story as we rest in Christ. Now, you can't live in faithfulness unless you know Christ. You cannot live a life that has the outpouring of faithfulness in it unless you know Him. Which leads to our three final points to fill in here today. You can't have the fruit of the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit in you. So let me implore you, if you're here today, somehow God brought you here. You're like, I'm not sure why I came today, but I'm here and I'm hearing about this. Let me assure you that God has drawn you here because today is the day of salvation. Let me encourage you, if you don't know Christ and you've never experienced what it is to live by faith in Him, to surrender your life to Him today, to pray for forgiveness and pray for restoration. And He is faithful and true to save you. For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? Romans 10, verses 9 and 11 say, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. The Scripture says, everyone who believes on Him will not be put to shame. So the first of our three takeaways, receive, these are familiar, right? Receive Jesus. Receive Jesus as Lord. Place your trust in Him, in His finished work on the cross. That's the first thing. The second takeaway, if you have believed in Jesus, you have put your faith in Him. The second one is examine your life. Now, we're not examining our life to question, am I saved? That's not the point here. We're examining our life to ask, am I trusting in Him or in myself? Am I putting my faith in what I do or what He has done? Let's examine our life today. Is Jesus my center? Am I leaning into Christ and not my own wisdom, right? And then the third one, the final takeaway is this. Faithfully trust in Jesus through all of life's circumstances. Faithfully trust in Jesus through all of life's circumstances. Let's draw near to Him. Let's trust Him, knowing that His Spirit in us transforms our hearts, sanctifies us, changes our desires, and bears fruit in us. And as we draw near, let's live in obedience out of love for Him. Amen? Let's live different so that the world looks at us and says, something's going on here. and I got to know what's happening. That's what Peter's talking about. Knowing that God is sovereign, his ways are higher than our ways, and that he knows what we're going through, and it is knit together for our good and his glory. Let's trust him. Let's lean into him. And I want to pray as we close. If you are here today and you have not put your faith in Christ, and today is the day of your salvation, when we close this service, I'll be here. Jason's here. I'm sure we have some of our deacon body would love to be here and pray with you and spend some time with you if that's what's happening in your life. If you just would like to have prayer because you know you need to rest in his faithfulness and rest in him, and you just like to speak to someone, you come and talk to us after the service as well, okay? Well, let's pray. We'll close, and we'll have some announcements after this. But I'm so glad that we're able to dive into the Word to be equipped and encouraged as we go from here. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you praise and glory today, knowing that you are God and you are faithful. Thank you so much, Lord, for this time in the Word. Thank you for your grace and mercy guiding and directing every part of the service today. I pray, Lord, that you would be speaking in the hearts of those that you have called here, and that by your grace you would move and direct hearts as you see fit. We thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.